say that, ah, it's because you're not from this area, that's why they're not giving you this. I'm coming to something, trying to explain this issue here about mind. I am one person that people have told me before that you didn't get this. This is why it's tribalism. I said, tribalism, not where I am. There is nobody big enough on earth to tribally discriminate against me. It's not possible. Because a man can receive nothing except it is given to him from above. If God gives me something, any man who tries to stop it will die for it.
Sure.
I don't believe in tribalism. I don't. Now, let me tell something about Christianity. It doesn't mean we can't see what's going on outside. It means we first understood that the words were framed by the word of God. So that the things that are seen were not made out of the things that are visible. What I mean is this. If I go to a place and everybody there says that you are the only Yoruba man there, which I am not, I'm a child of God, alright? Therefore, we won't give it to you and they don't give it to me. I leave the place knowing that God did not give it to me. After all, you see, people just like, you see, you have to be careful in life. That's what makes us believers. Look at recently. Sanusi Lamido Sanusi was appointed CBN governor. And they decided to sack some bank entities. People say, not an agenda. This is one man that never said it. That's it. I said, I don't believe it. They said, people say, they did not have ganged up to take our banks. And I look at them and say, this is why. Alright? Prosperity will hide you. Keep talking like that. You have called yourself a victim. Like I always say, if something is my own, any man who wants to take it by force, his hand will be cut. I don't care what the man is thinking. I only care about what I know. One of my friends quoted the scripture, which I never saw in that light, said, many are the devices in the heart of the man, but only the purpose of God will stand. You know that scripture. But what it means, there's another way we look at it that everybody can be saying one thing about my life. It's what God determines about my life that will come to pass. All of us shouted, but the more the time passed, the less we shouted, because we are beginning to see facts. When Charles Owindo said, 25 billion or you are dead as a bank, the North shouted, Southern agenda. Because no Northern bank survived. You know that? None. The only one that survived, Unity Bank, is still not working till today. And they shouted, Southern agenda. Were it not for the kind of stubborn person that our former president was, they would have overturned that decree. They did everything. Southern agenda, at the end of the day, our past doesn't look like this. When I give a man a job, please let him do the job I gave him to do. That is supposed to do. In the market, there were some good sides to that stubbornness. Now, what am I going to explain? Bible talks about renewing of the mind. It's a mindset amongst Nigerians that anything that is not to be done, that is not done, we look for a tribal color to it. One of my resident doctors does this. One of the most irresponsible persons I ever worked with. That's what he was. One of the emptiest heads I ever had to deal with as a doctor. That's what he was. I said, I'm describing one person. He was very responsible. One day, walked to my office. Second afternoon, chief. He was wearing a coat. Very unlike him. So I was like, okay. So, Dr. Martin, what is going on? I'm on my way to Abuja. I said, are you taking permission or you're informing me? You know, he didn't understand the concept. And I know this person wants to go for his money. I said, I'm not saying you don't need money. Are you asking me or you are telling me that you're about to go to Abuja? Do you realize you have a boss where you work? He said, you know this is civil service. I said, this is not about civil service. This is about common sense. Now, that's the kind of person he was. Because before I came to UNT, he said, they didn't have a performance for a very long time. So everybody, like the Bible said, was doing as seemed good in his eyes, who were in the market. The same young man went to take exam, those guys, listen to me, and he failed. He failed the second time. By the time he finished the third and they told him, no, by the time he finished the second and they said, please, don't come back for a year. Go and learn some more books. He happened to be taking the posting from the exam, having done his posting in Ife. We didn't have our accreditation then, so we sent him to Ife. Then one day I was in my office. One of our senior profs in the College of Medicine called me. So I went to the office to talk to him and see him. He said, please, that this young man is having problems. I said, I'm aware. That listen. That he said the reason why he's not passing is because he's an evil man. Did you hear what I said? I said, prof, he told you that, yes. I said, I'm very happy. Like, let me tell you all his irresponsibilities. I told the whole story of his life in front of the prof. The man was looking at me. I said, this boy, he's so irresponsible, he shouldn't be sitting in your office. That nobody's against him. The person said he's against me, Professor Adife. One day the prof called me. I said, good morning, sir. Yeah, Dr. Mishnah, how are you doing? I'm fine. This doctor, is he with you or is he with us? Because for 3 months, he was not in Ife, he was not in Enugu.
Yeah.
Ife, people thought he was in Enugu. Enugu people thought he was in Ife.
No way.
Remember, the man was in Utsuka, in his home, jumping from one place, collecting salary for doing nothing. Because we here thought he was in Ife. Now, looking at this, yet, when the man finally failed, he came back and said, in fact, what he did was that he went to the University of Ife, went to every professor that he knew was from the East, to tell them how he was being victimized by the professor from the West in the department. When God wants to judge some people, that one of the people that God hates are those who spread, alright, strife amongst brethren. For nothing he was calling men against men because he was not responsible. After he tells everyone that I did that, we told him that it's your life. If you like, good enough in the college, nobody cares. You can tell all this story you want. This is the paper. Write the exam. Pass. If you pass, we'll pass you. What am I saying? I understood all of this. And my life, I said no. It is not possible. Nobody can discriminate against me. Simply because I'm a child of God and he that is from above is above all. It's my mindset. Now listen to what I'm saying. I have a ministry. I teach young men there. They all have the same mentality. You can never persuade them that they are disadvantaged wherever they go. Because the person who teaches them me, that's my attitude. It comes out in what I say. It comes out in how I say it. It comes out in how I behave. Now when I'm telling stories, my best friends in the world, in fact, my best man, his name is Uchichi Obioma Igbokwe. That's the best of my best man when I was getting married. They know all of this. Therefore, they can go anywhere in the world. They tell them that, they won't give it to you because you're not from this area. They will laugh at you in the face. And this is an interesting thing. It is to you according to what? Your faith. If you believe something, if you reflect like that in what you do. I'm talking about becoming something. When the Bible talks about being transformed by the renewing of your mind, you see, it's that word mind describes your approach, your interpretation of the events of life. You know, I was teaching somewhere, they had a youth program that was in one redeemed church, that was about 2 weeks ago. And as I was explaining, I was talking about to young people, talking about how to make choices for life. And up till now, your parents have made choices for you. Whether you realize it or not, they did. They even taught you how to do bad things. Forget all the noise you were making. I'm sorry, it's a matter of fact. And that's the angle I'm bringing up, talking about mentors. That they even taught you how to do the bad things of life, even though they were making noise. I said, how do I know? I said, when children go to buy YX results, who pays for it? They don't work. The boy is 15. He's 16. He doesn't work. And doesn't steal. We explained to his father that this is the way everybody does it. One day a woman calls me. She called me to apologize for something. Somebody brought her to see me and the girl had gotten pregnant, alright? Out of wedlock, young girl and all of that. So that's how they came to see me. And so in the process, the girl didn't go home because her mother is an elder in their church. Now listen. And the woman said, and that's why the woman called to apologize, because she called me that this is what Pastor Banky said, so she called to say, I'm very sorry. That the woman told the daughter, that was the girl told me, that she's not telling her to do anything, no. She's not telling her to do anything. All she wants to know is that she must hear the good news. What is the good news? She doesn't know where the pregnancy disappears. Let it just disappear. So I was counseling the young woman and the young man that was responsible. You know, that's how I got involved in the case. So I talked to the young girl. Then when she went home finally, because she had to go home eventually, she told the mother everything. I said, the mother now corrected my phone number and called me to have left because in their church, a Pentecostal church, she was a deaconess in the church. And she was more concerned about the embarrassment than any other thing. No matter the message you preach to that girl forever, she can never forget that the rest of it is called acting, people please. How do we mentor people? Our children as an example. It's simply becoming, it's not trying to tell them something. It's just for them to know what we are exactly like. And it's not something we practice, it's something we just are. So this is job. This is the ABC of mentoring. It's simple. What is it that Christ expects me to be? You know, this morning I was still on my bed in the house and one of my Bibles was on the floor. So from there I was also reading the story. And the story was interesting. Those stories are always interesting. It was the story of how David killed Uriah. So I just read that portion and how he replies to Joab that this battle goes like this and it goes like that. One man is sneaking, another man is this. They encourage, fight hard and take the city. And the Bible said then, after Uriah died, Bathsheba mourned her husband, and after that David sent for her and took her, and she became his wife. Then I noticed the last line, and he said, this thing was displeasing in the eyes of God. Cool, enter my God. I began to pray, I said, yeah, that is an instant prayer. Because the next paragraph was not funny. The sword shall not depart out of thy house. Those were the judgments that Nathan gave to David. Why? Because this thing was displeasing in the eyes of God. So I began to pray. Say, God, please. And every day we go out to do things. Can you just quickly point out the ones that are routinely displeasing in your eyes? Say, yes. And that's the judgment of it. You know, people talk about the Holy Spirit led me, how to be led by the Holy Spirit. Look, those things are nice. They are not wrong, all right? You can be in your house, you can get up this morning and go out. But you know, let's be honest, he doesn't say much of most of the time. He doesn't talk most of the time. What does he expect? This is how we make choices. This is how we know the leading of the Holy Spirit. Each time we do that, which we know is pleasing in the sight of God. If we do that, he will by himself lead us in the ones that we don't know. That's what James said when he said, if any man lacks wisdom, you have done the one that you know. Please, I hope you are following what I'm going to explain. This is the principle of mentoring. It's for, because what is life about? We want to achieve one thing. This is just one thing. And this is what I've called very true. If you read the book of Hebrews, Paul explained there that, look, that Christ came so as to bring many sons to glory. What does it mean? That is what God is doing in us is to bring us to the perfect image of Christ Jesus. Please, I hope you know what I'm saying. He wants us to become exactly like Christ Jesus. Exactly. And that transformation is not outward because we all look different. The transformation is first inward, which is what the Bible calls the Spirit of Christ. Please, I hope you know what I'm saying. It's called the Spirit of Christ. Now, God wants to transform us. Now, listen. Having done that, routinely every one of us as men, we are the mentors in our houses. That's the way it is. I tell people that if you want to know what I think about women, look at my wife. Don't talk to me. Just look at my wife. That's all. If you want to know what I think about some things, just look at the people I have that influence on. I'm routinely, first and foremost, the mentor in my house. Now, there's a reason why I explain that. That was why God did not allow us to lay eggs inside the sand, like ostrich, and go away. And the children will hatch and take care of themselves. Why? Because the first place they learn godliness from is from home. If I want to things I talk to my wife, then God allowed help me to understand that I've been teaching any woman. Well, I don't teach women normally on such things, but any woman who asks me this counsel I give. I said the first example of how to respect the appearance that children have is how the mothers respect the fathers. What I'm telling you is a matter of fact. The child does not know how to respect his elders until he sees the mother respect his father. That's where he learns it from. The first example of righteous living and godliness that the child has is how the parents behave. If you want the child to become a hypocrite in life, just be a hypocrite. Behave one way at home and come to church on Sunday and say, "Bless you, sir. Oh, this is where I praise God. Oh, the Lord shall supply." Then the boy comes home next morning. Daddy, please, he said, "Oh, you should bring money." So he come on, keep quiet. You're always looking for money. You know the conference hard, conference hard, conference hard. But don't say that when you say that in church. In church, when they say that, please, say, we need to buy a new speaker. Who will give 500 naira? You quickly go and give 500 naira. The guy can't reconcile it. So he thinks Christianity is a joke. Let me give you one of these I practice. You know, in church, people say that give your children offering regularly. You know, please listen to me fully before you judge what I'm about to say. I'm one person that don't give my children offering regularly. They will go to their children's church once a month. My wife will take a good amount of money and give to the senior person and say, "Give to uncle something. This is your offering." Do you understand the concept? The 20 naira that we hand to children is a bad lesson. Is a very terrible lesson. I refuse to do it. My children routinely hold 1,000 naira. I may not do it every day. Do you understand what I mean? But when I'm giving them offering, my wife makes a rule, it must be big. It mustn't be 20, 20, 50 naira. You know, she doesn't even know once a month anymore. It can be every Sunday or every other Sunday. But anytime she's giving them money, it must be a fat note. There are four of them that go to that children's street church now, church. So she gives to the biggest boy, actually, and says, "Akinu, give this to Uncle Sonny. Tell him it's the offering money for all of you. Because, you see, a small bowl of ice cream is 300 naira. A meat pie is 120 naira. Good quality biscuits is like 200 naira. This boy has seen you buy it for him. If you give him 20 naira for offering, you have taught him a lesson. And I think you understand the lesson." So from the beginning, my children have never been a 20 naira for offering. Never. Never. Don't learn it that the work of God is done with 20 naira. You must never learn it. They've seen me pay money for fees. I mean, they've heard you discuss house rent. In the same manner, if I like the way Bishop William was saying those days, that the best way is to the offering for the day, everybody gather and go and give it together. If your offering is 1,000 naira, if it's 5,000 naira, or if you are like me that would like to give major offering once a month, what you're about to do, let all the children see that, okay, how many thousands are you writing on that check? Then what is that for? This is not your school fees, this is for church. And I put it, he grows up knowing, do you follow my point? That this thing is important. I cannot buy me clothes that are denominated in thousands and I give you 15 naira for offering. I'm teaching a very bad lesson. Without saying it, is picking up some things that God will give him change when we go to the house of God. He's one of the beggars in the street. But he sees me give beggars money routinely because that's what God commanded you give to beggars. I don't try to impress anybody by giving a beggar 1,000 naira. It's against the will of God as far as I'm concerned. The beggar is supposed to collect what? Crumbs. That was what Lazarus wanted from the table of the rich man. Crumbs. That's why he stands by the roadside. 10 naira here, 20 naira there, 5 naira there. No beggar, except I'm in a very, very unusual day, gets 50 naira from me. It's 10 naira, 20 naira, 5 naira. You know what? He's a beggar, he's always there. If all of us give him the 5 naira, you earn a fat salary, you know that?
Sure.
Yeah, that's the principle. That's the principle. That's why I do my things. There's one young man, anytime he's going to school, he's supposed to come and see me. And I don't give him 5 naira, then I give him a lot of money. A few thousand because he's not a beggar. I'm just helping him, he's going to school. So I give him proper money. But beggars, no. I want to give my mother money, cannot be small money. I want to give my father-in-law something, it must be big. And my son sees me doing these things. Automatically, he's learning how to honor parents, learning how to honor God, learning how to treat beggars. I don't shout at beggars in his presence, even in my mind, so that he will learn how not to treat poor people. Treat people with respect. Give them my point. Now, these are not things you can practice by themselves. They are things you first become in yourself. And then you do them. Some of the things we do as a, it is time to pray. It is time to do this. They are good, but we have to be careful that we don't teach children, we don't immunize them against Christianity. You know the immunization? Now they immunize against polio. You take polio, they can't do anything. Put it in the child's mouth. Then the child develops immunity against the polio that can do something. That's the law of immunization. Alright? Now, out of this chamber, the great American evangelist said that some people have been immunized to Christianity. You give them small Christianity as children. That's why you hear all them, Bill Gates and all them, they were raised up amongst Christians. But they grew up despising Christianity. Because it was like a show, it was like a form. We do business differently on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Then on Sunday, we go and do church differently. We don't realize that Christianity is Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And the child needs to do Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. He knows when you are telling the truth. He knows when you are telling the lie. He knows how you behave on Sunday. He knows how you behave on other days. The children are so strong. When my boy was like 3 years of age, one day I wore. Then I used to wear suit to go and preach. I used to wear native. So one day I wore native. I was going to the office on Friday. He said, "Where are you going?" I said, "I'm going to work." He said, "No, you are going for Bible study." I said, "No, I'm going to work." He said, "This is not the class for work. This is the class for Bible study." I was amazed. This guy was like 3 years of age. He said, "This is not the class for work. This is the class for Bible study." I didn't know the guy already knew because I teach my Bible classes on Saturday evenings. He already knew that I used to wear, native, just normal, short native like this. That was the only thing I used to wear for my Bible studies. But for going to work, I wear a suit. So the young boy looked and said, "No, this is not the club for work. This is the one for Bible study." And he was 3 years of age. I hope my message is clear. This is the principle of mentoring. It's not how to talk to somebody or how not to talk. Those are secondary. The primary thing is what I have become. And how do I become? That's what Paul wrote to Timothy. He said, "Give yourself fully or wholly to these things." That was one of the greatest compliments I ever got in life. It was one thing my wife said once. She said, "When they say men backslide, it makes me laugh. That you, if you were to backslide, why are you sliding to God?" He said, "No, you say you are backslide." He said that you have to come from someone to be able to slide back into the thing. That all the years I have known you for nothing else than this thing. That is the word of God, the scriptures, Christianity, the life of Christ. Then what would you say you are backsliding? Now, she was, if you say I was the most unusual Christian she ever met, God, the way I did my things. But that everything I did was centered around the scriptures. What am I saying? Paul said to Timothy, "Give yourself fully, wholly to these things." I pray that people will understand this is that Christianity is not about church. Christianity is not about church. There's a number of materials I worked on recently. In which I explain something about how to work for God. That look, people think that when I say that what is God's work? And then what is this one? Secular work. That expression does not exist in Christianity. About when we just want to clarify something, just communicate. In truth, everything you do is the work of God. Let me just say this as I close. You know, one of the mistakes we make is that we think that God judges our dedication by coming to church. No, He doesn't. What I'm saying is matter of fact. Your dedication to God, God does not judge it in church. I'll say it one more time. Your dedication to God, He does not judge it in church. He doesn't come to church to mark register. You know where He judges? At work. You know where He judges? At home. You know why? He knows everybody behaves nicely in church. I've never seen, think about that. ever seen an adulterer bring his girlfriend to a Pentecostal church? No, think about it for a second. The man has three girlfriends. They have never gotten into church. So if God was to check in church, he would never catch him. What will never catch him? A lot of men who steal government money, they don't steal church money. They will steal government money and bring it to church. That's what the Bible calls.
He said sometimes we call, he was talking about the days of the kingdom of God. He said, no longer will the road be judged as generous.
We're talking about the days of the kingdom of God. That no longer will the road be judged as generous. That is, if you judge only in church, a thief will look like a nice man. That's why those days used to tell us that in Italy, all the mafia dons, you've seen the movies, all the mafia dons are very good Catholics. I was watching the mafia movie long ago. The man said, his girlfriend said, divorce your wife from marrying me. The man said, no. You want me to go against the words of the Reverend Father? I'm going to die and go to hell. He was with a girlfriend, he's a married man. And he was telling the girlfriend that if I divorce my wife, the Reverend Father will send me to hell. Because we thought Christianity is only in church. Let me just say this. It confuses our children. Let me just say that. It does. When Daniel was going to be judged, you know, nobody checked what he did in the temple. The first place they checked was how he handled the king's affairs. It was a civil servant. It was a minister. The first thing they checked was how he handled the affairs in the secular work that he did. I wish business people would understand this. If you sell somebody a fake product, no matter how much offering you give, you are a sinner. Because God doesn't come to church first to judge. Where does he judge? He judges at home. I used to tell women that if I see you talk to your husband anyhow, the husband you're talking to, you're talking anyhow, then you now see me and say, Pastor, good afternoon, I will kick you for this. You are not allowed to kneel down for me as a pastor. When you are not willing to kneel down for your husband, I reject it in Jesus' name. No, anywhere I preach, I tell women, if any of you are going to greet me, Pastor, good afternoon, sir. Next day I see you with your husband, greet your husband in my presence. Husband, good afternoon. No, the mistake we make is that we think God is okay. God is inside the pastor, so he's looking. But God is not inside the husband. Generosity also, a lot of us, we think generosity is only in church. I had a friend that didn't give anything to church, but five cup of his money can drop. If you like that, you won't give money. What have I explained today? The fundamental thing about being a mentor is to first become the right person. Then your life becomes an example. And without you realizing it, people start following your example. Let me summarize what Miles Monroe said. That teaching I told you I listened to in 94. So the Bible says, train up a child in the way that he should go. And when he's old, he will not depart from it. He said, the way we interpret it, I would say, train. Tell the child where to go and not to go. He said, no, that's not what the Bible said. That the word is train. That have you ever seen a train? That's it. I'm telling you how he explained it. That what we find out in, you know, we see this railway things that pass up under the Nigerian Railway Corporation. That the train, we see like 10 cars. That the train is just a small engine in front. Not small, you know what I mean? It's big, but compared to the whole length, it's maybe like 1/20th of the whole thing. So that is the train. Every other thing is a car. They call them cars. So that when it comes to train up a child, what they said is hook everybody up and go in a direction and they will follow that direction. It's not that you will stand and tell them where to go. That how you train a child by moving in one direction with him hooked to your belt, then he moves in that direction. If daddy doesn't tell lies, the boy doesn't understand how to lie. If daddy doesn't cheat people, if he's honest 24 hours, 7 days of the week, the man learns, the young boy learns the same thing. He's training. He's being trained. Because the train is in front and it's hooked up to the train. Do you understand the principle?
Yes, sir.
That's all. I'm sure I've shown my time. That is all that I have to say about the ABC of mentoring. And I hope that I have explained something to all of us today. Thank you very much. God bless you.